You just have your Bible there, and we're going to use the Bible heavily tonight. And you might have it at Matthew 2. That'd be a good starting place, Matthew 2:1. Now, on Sunday night, I've been speaking to you about the covenants in the Bible. We've already looked at the first covenant in Genesis 9, where God told Noah and his descendants and all lower creation he would never destroy them all again by a worldwide flood. That was God's word to them. They didn't ask for it. God gave it. And he gave them a receipt or a token that would be true in the beautiful rainbow. The second covenant was a few hundred years later. God called out a man by the name of Abraham, promised him many things, and become a great nation. The main thing that would come from Abraham would be a seed who was Christ. And then, of course, the sign of Abraham's covenant was circumcision. And then we looked at the covenant that God made through the law to the nation of Israel. And that was made by blood sacrifice, bound them together. They put themselves under to keep the law, and they couldn't. And the sign of that was keeping the Sabbath day. Somebody asked me about that last week, and they illustrated it like this. Here's a Jew, and across the road down the street lives a Gentile. And the Gentile says, Jew, I said, why don't you work on the Sabbath? Why don't you go to work on Saturday like everybody else does? You notice what he says. He says, oh, that's what makes me different from you. I'm in agreement with God and under special bond to God. And this is a sign that distinguishes me from pagans, that I do not work on this day, which is a Sabbath day. We looked at that one. And then last week, we started on the fourth covenant in the Bible. And I'm not going to go back on this part. For the benefit of the tape and those who didn't get it, the fourth covenant is the one that God came down and chose voluntarily to make with David. And most of the covenant was spoken to David through the prophet Nathan. And it's recorded in 2 Samuel 7 and Psalm 89 and then Psalm 134, 132, 11, a couple of other places. Now, I want to start with where we left off last week and get just a little bit technical tonight, because I can see some have missed it or some really haven't got it settled. And it's not really that, you don't have to knit your brow really to sort of see this. God made David a covenant. Now, here's what he promised him. He said, David, your house, your kingdom, your throne, and your seed are going to be around forever. That's what God said. Forever. It will be perpetual. Now, God promised to do this for David. Your house, your kingdom, your throne, your seed, that's your children, will be around forever. Now, listen real careful. Has God kept his word to David? Now, with that, I want to take you on a little trip through Jewish history, and I've really skinned it down for you. All right. You ready? Just a little trip we're going to make. Now, from the time David lived and died about 1,000 years before Christ was born. And I want us to go from the time David died down across history, some 400 years to a few hundred years before the birth of Christ. In fact, we're going from the time David died down to the year 586 B.C., 586 years before Christ. That's about 400 years from the time he died to 586. Well, more, a little bit more. I call it 400 for round numbers. Now, from the time David died to the time Jerusalem was destroyed in 586 B.C., David had exactly 19 sons, grandsons, great-great-great-great-grandsons. From the time he died, it was Solomon, Rehoboam, right on down. From the time David died down to Jerusalem was destroyed, David had exactly 19 different sons born in his family to sit on his throne. Exactly 19. From the time he died to 586, 19. Now, in 586 B.C., real quickly, the Babylonians came. They razed the city, the temple. They raped the land. They destroyed everything. They killed millions. They carried many off in slavery. And everything was destroyed. That was in 586 B.C. You read about this especially in the last chapter of 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Now, when Jerusalem was destroyed in 586 B.C., from that time to the birth of Christ, no king ever again sat on David's throne. From the time David died to 586, there were 19. In 586 B.C., the city was destroyed. They stayed in captivity 70 years, came back in 536. In 586 B.C., when everything was destroyed, till the birth of Christ, the nation of Israel never got reorganized, and never did a king sit on their throne and say, "Hey, I'm from David, I'm the king over the nation of Israel." Now, that's very important. And if you miss that, now that is a fact. Listen, even the Jehovah's Witnesses have that right. That's one thing, it's about all. They've got that right even in their history book, that part. So from 586 to the birth of Christ, no king sat on David's throne. Now that's a gap of over 500 years that God didn't have somebody in his house, somebody in his throne, somebody taking care of David's family, so on and so forth. In fact, the last king descended from David, number 19, was a man named Zedekiah. He was a godless man. I mean, he was so godless that when the Babylonians came and took him, they actually laid him down and punched his eyes out, took him to Babylon, threw him in a prison, and he died a horrible death in prison. You read that in Jeremiah 52. And that was the last one. Now, you're following the story. I'm trying to skip over just a bit here. All right. About 60 years before Jesus was born, the Roman Empire conquered the Holy Land and Jerusalem and the rebuilt temple. City had been rebuilt and temple had been rebuilt enough to function. 60 years before Christ, the Romans take the country. They rule. Now, listen very carefully. In Roman history, wherever Rome conquered, and they conquered the known world of their day. Now, that's not the known world of our day. Wherever Rome conquered, Roman soldiers are the toughest soldiers the world's ever known. But wherever Rome conquered, they had good policy with their occupation forces. And one of the first things that the Roman occupation forces would do, a governor would be sent in and find out what the people under their authority wanted and try to give it to them to keep them happy. Now, if I was ruling, that's what I'd do. I wouldn't be shooting them and hanging them, working them like the stupid communists in slave labor, and they can't work because they haven't eaten. To me, that's insane. But when Rome conquered, Rome tried to set up a good system to make the people happy up to a point in order to draw money and revenue out of them and use them for whatever purposes. Now, 60 years before Jesus, Rome took the world. Now, listen to what Rome did. 37 years before Christ was born, the Roman Senate met. And they said, "Now, we own a land down there called the Holy Land or Palestine." And the Roman Senate said, "You know that bunch of Jews, they're king crazy. They're always talking about a king. They need a king, and they want a king, and they haven't had a king. And the Babylonians had them, and then the Persians had them, and the Greeks had them, and now we've got them. And so these Jews are king crazy." So the Roman Senate met, and they picked a man to be a king over the Jews when there hadn't been one for over about 500 years. Now, I'm giving you some history that will help you tremendously in understanding your Bible. So here's who they picked. They picked a fellow by the name of Herod. And the Roman Senate said, "We appoint Herod, and he will be the new and first king of the Jews for about 500 years. Now, you guys have got a king, so be happy." The Jews weren't happy. Now, here's why. First of all, Herod's father wasn't a Jew. His father was an Edomite who descended from the twin brother of Jacob, Esau. Herod's father wasn't David. Second, Herod's father married an Arabian Gentile woman by the name of Sarissa. And so here's an Edomite father with a Gentile woman, and they produce a bouncing little baby boy, and bless my bones, they give him a Greek name, Herod, which means hero of the people. Now that's like our government doing things. Now, that shows, Jerry, how well the Romans knew Jewish thought. And so they said, "Now you've got a king over you. His name's Herod. Rule over him. He'll rule over you. You obey him." Now look at Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, if you will. Matthew 2 and verse 1. Let me get there right quick. Now, all right, so the Jews have a king after around 500 years. Wow, they ought to be happy, Tim, but let's see. Now, does the Bible say he was a king? Well, Matthew 2, 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of, well, you know what it says, Herod the king. All right. So the Jews have them a king now, and his name is Herod. But when Jesus was born, some strange fellows in a long train or long caravan, when Jesus was born and a little child of some age, at least 2 years old down for sure, that's the age Herod picked to murder the baby, so we know he was somewhere in that range. When he was born, suddenly in Jerusalem, where Herod usually resided, especially in the summer, into the city rode a long caravan of strange men dressed strange, wise men from the east. And they ask a question that shook it. Now, the Jews, under their breath, they said, Herod, you pig, you'll never be our king. You don't have the ancestry from David. You're a rat. You're a mongrel, half Edomite, half Gentile. You'll never be our king. Under their breath, they, do you know that in the Talmud, they never mentioned Herod? And that'll stack 10 feet in there. They hated him so bad, yet he rebuilt the temple for them to try and get them to like him. Now, when Jesus was born, these men rode in town, and they asked for somebody that shook Herod to his foundation. All right, let's look at Matthew 2:1 again. All right? Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born? Ah, you see David? King of the Jews. King of the Jews. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard these things, now look, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Now this wasn't whispered over somebody's meat counter. When these fellows rode in town, you see, the nation, the residents said, you may, under their breath, they wouldn't say, man, he killed him right and left. And they wouldn't say anything, but they said, you'll never be our king. And you got to get into the drama here. And in right there, they're wise men. Now, these fellows came from the east. Now, we have a number of questions here. They live some 400 to 500 miles in the east. How did they know that there would be born a man who would be the king of the Jews when Rome had already given the Jews a king? Now, this is answer. I don't have time to answer it. They got out of the Old Testament. The Jews have been over there for years. That's where they got it. But now the wise men pitch up. And incidentally, wise men will travel a long way to still find out about Jesus. They will. I remember Brother Joe Davis. I'll always remember he wrote me a letter one time. And on the bottom of his stationery, they had a church sort of out in the bush out there. And I'll always remember what Joe had on the stationery. He said, the drive is worth it. That's what he had. That stuck in me. You know, some things stick. And I want to tell you here, the ride was worth it. And these guys rocked up in Jerusalem and they said, where is he that's born king of the Jews? Now here's Herod and here's what he's saying. Hey, nobody's come to say, find out about me. I'm running the show. I'm the king. Rome appointed me. They rule the world. And I want to tell you, the ferocity of the devil rose up in this man's heart. And now he's vied with some competition. And here's these wise men. Now, they didn't know anything. They didn't know Herod. No, he's a bad guy at all. They trusted him. And you know the story here. But now we have a conflict of two kings. The Romans have appointed a king. The Jews say, we don't want him. He's a rat bag. He's no good. Now, they gave lip service because he knocked their blocks off and their heads too. And he was trying to build the temple and kill him at the same time to curry favor. And so we got a bad guy who's not their king. And we got good men riding in and say, the real king of the Jews has been born. And it's very interesting that Herod called in the Sanhedrin, the Jewish religious leaders. And here's what he said. I want you guys to look in your Bible, your Old Testament, and tell me where your king's going to be born. So that means you'd already heard about him. And so they opened their Old Testament. They rolled and they came to a little text there in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And they said, now, king, it says, thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be the smallest among the thousands of cities in the state of Judea, yet out of thee shall he come forth, whose goings have been from old, from everlasting. He said, what does that mean? He says, that means, O king, that the king of the Jews will be born in Bethlehem. All right? Now, it's very interesting that even though the religious leaders had a king, they didn't accept him, they still knew exactly where he was going to be born. And when that devil ordered him in to find it in the Scripture, he had enough sense to know they could find things in the Scripture, and he believed it. And when they coughed it up and laid it before him, that was it. And he sent them off and said, and when you found him, you bring me news so I can come and worship him too. What a lie. Boy, that'll take the Nobel Prize, won't it? Let me worship him too. So, what do we got here now? We got a king who's not a king, and we've got wise men riding in, and they speak about the king of the Jews who has been born. All right, now, what you can use your Bible with me. I'm going to use a harmony. My other harmony fell apart, and I found that one for $5 in that used list. Now, the second thing I want to show you, when Christ was born, they said he's a king. And he was confirmed in Scripture. And the Gentile king wouldn't have it. Now, I want to run you down. This is 33 and a half years later. And he's a grown man. And I want to run you down to just a few days before. Now, he was a baby king then, and 33 and a half years later, he's a grown man. And I want to take you down, and I'm going to read out of the harmony on page 112. And it's a few days before his death, and he gets on the back of a donkey, and he rides the donkey into the city of Jerusalem. It's the Feast of the Passover. There's several million visitors, let alone home folks packing that place out. And for the last 3.5 years, Jesus Christ has turned the nation and the world upside down. And I'll tell you, religion is divided and the people are divided, and some saying he's the Moshiach, he's the Messiah, and others say he's an imposter. And there's a division. There's a little group that's saying he must be our king, and there's another group that's saying he cannot be our king. Now, a few days before the cross, remember he was a king as a baby, he's a man now, he rides into Jerusalem, and I want to read, now all four Gospels record what was said. And I want to read you what the crowds at the Shushan Gate, when he came riding down the Mount of Olives, it's about a 2-mile trip, takes several hours, and he made his way winding up there. And I want to read you as the crowds gathered, and thousands gathered, they were hanging over the wall, they were jumping and children screaming. And as the Son of God began to ride side saddle on that little donkey, that's the only way a priest would ride a donkey, is the way, anyway, side saddle. And as he was riding in, listen to what the crowd said about him as he's a few days before death. Let's see, let me read in Luke chapter. We're saying, blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. This is what the Roman Catholics call Palm Sunday. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now here's what John said the crowd said. And they cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, he was a king when he started, a baby king. 33.5 years later, the emotional charged crowds, packed with excitement, shout, blessed is the King of Israel, Hosanna. Incidentally, Hosanna was a term that the Jews would only use upon their Messiah. They wouldn't say it to Moses or anybody else. That's the reason when you read Hosanna in the New Testament, in the Gospels recorded one time in the four Gospels, it is bestowed on Messiah, Jesus Christ. Because the crowd say, Hosanna, this is our King, this is our Messiah, he's here at last. And that's just a few days before his death. Now, I want to take you now to his trial. This is what, this is about 3 days later, his trial. And I'm going to read you out of the harmony on this one. All right? His trial. Now, this is his trial before the Jewish court. And let's see what questions the Kazan, the high priest, puts to him. Well, let's see. I'll read John for you. John chapter 18. I think it's verse 33. I can't have see it. Anyway, I should have brought my glass you gave me, David. John 18:33. It says, they brought Jesus into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, now here's the high priest, art thou the king of the Jews? I want you to get this. First question he asked him. He didn't say, what have you been preaching? What have you been doing? He said, my first question, are you the king of the Jews? All right? Jesus answered him, saying, does thou say this of thyself, or dost thou say it for another? Now here's Pilate. Pilate comes in and says, am I a Jew? Listen to what Luke said. Luke 23 and verse 3. Luke says, and Pilate asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? Now the high priest asked him, the governor asked him. Matthew says, Mark says, 15:2, and Pilate asked him, art thou king of the Jews? Matthew 27 says, art thou the king of the Jews? What are you trying to bring out, brother? I'm trying to show you some. Hey, that was some special interest, whether he was king or not. I'm telling you. They said he was a king when he was born. The crowds 3 days before stood outside the city gate and shouted he was the king. They bring him in before the high priest, bringing him before Pilate, and the first question they put to him, are you the king? Are you the king? Are you the king? And in every case, Christ says, thou sayest, it is so, I am. Now, the reason I'm stressing this, all of you that have got Bible commentaries, and these guys from Harvard who say that Jesus struggled to recognize his identity, brother, you're talking about mess. This is mess. You know trouble these birds, they've never been saved. They don't have the Holy Ghost. Having not the Spirit, they walk in the flesh. And they write these books and say, now, nowhere in the Bible did Jesus ever, was Jesus ever confronted, was he the Messiah, the King of Israel? Well, I mean, they must be reading the Revised Standard Version. But there it is. I want to tell you something. They'd gone hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years without a king. And I want to tell you that that pig that the Romans put there wasn't their king. And when Jesus Christ was born, he was their king. And for 3.5 years of his ministry, they struggled with this. Now, you must understand that the Messiah was the king and the king was the Messiah. Like sweat's perspiration, perspiration, sweat. And the bigot, they had a lot of arguments and a lot of bones to pick against our Lord, the religious leaders. And a lot of them were big ones. But I want to tell you, the biggest problem they had with this carpenter from Galilee, from Nazareth, was this. And that is he our Messiah or is he an imposter? Is he the king of the Jews? If he's the king, he's the Messiah. If he's the Messiah, he's the king. Is he or is he not? That's the big thing they struggle with. You know, I noticed it this afternoon for the first time in my life. When Jesus was born, the wise men said, he's the king of the Jews. And when he died, Pilate said, give me a board. And he wrote in Hebrew, he wrote in Greek, he wrote in Latin, Jesus Nazarenum Rex Aduum. I remember that much Latin. And Pilate wrote on there, Jesus of Nazareth, king of the Jews. Nailed it up there. And from his birth to his death, both friend and foe said, I'm not going to take it down. He's the king of the Jews. He said so. Brother, he's king of the Jews. Amen. Period. Now, the Jews still don't believe that. You know, the Orthodox unsaved Jews. All right, I want you to go with me to John 18 in your Bibles now, please. John 18. Turn there. John 18. Now, I'm going to pick up what I touched on lightly there in the harmony. And now, here we go. Oh, boy, is this... Ooh, here and there, we're getting in bad stuff here now. And I want to tell you something. If you think I'm a post-millennialist, you're nuts. I want you to know that. I'm not a post-millennialist. I'll never be one. These guys that preach are going to get better and better and better and preach so much the gospel, every while things are going to get so good and Jesus is going to decide he can't stand, he's got to come back, set up his kingdom. Brother, the Bible doesn't teach that. No, sir. There's not anything in me that wants to get good, brother. It all wants to get bad and I have to keep my fist in his face all the time. Now, here's the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ went before Pilate. Christ had 2 Jewish trials, and he had 3 Roman trials. And here's his last appearing before Pilate. Now, I want you to listen to how Pilate questioned him and how Jesus answered. Now, Jesus is the king of the Jews. Now, I got a problem. Where's his kingdom? A king has to have a kingdom. All right? Where's his kingdom? Now, Pilate being the governor interrogating Christ and Christ saying, yes, I'm the king of the Jews, the first thing that rose up in Pilate, uh-oh, there's going to be anarchy, there's going to be sedition, there's going to be opposition to Rome. We've got to put this guy down. Now, I want you to listen to the interrogation of Pilate. This is very important, and listen to Christ's answer. All right, let's go to John chapter 18. Oops, got the wrong place here. Hang on, I'll find it in a couple of days. Here, John chapter 18, and all right, and we'll start with verse 35, John 18, 35. Listen to what it says now. Now, he's in before Pilate. Pilate answered, talking to Christ, am I a Jew? Now, this is in the active tense. It means he's angry. He's frothing at the mouth. Pilate's mad now. He's talking to Jesus. Thine own nation and the chief priest had delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. Now, Amy, either he knew what he's talking about or he didn't, and I have no problem with that one. Now, here's what Pilate's saying. Hey, you said you were the king. He just confessed that in the verses before. Yes, I'm the king. Okay, he says, where's your kingdom? Where's your soldiers, spears, arrows, shields, javelins? There's going to be an uprising. There's going to be a fifth column, and the nation will fall. He says, where's your kingdom? Tell me! Listen to the blessed hallelujah. Oh, my soul, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. Boy, that's military talk. He said, if I had the kind of kingdom you were looking for, we'd slash your throat right now. That's what he's saying. My kingdom's not of this world. That's beautiful. Then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Why don't some of these academic crackpots read that? He said he was a king. He was born a king. Christ didn't lie to Pilate. Christ didn't play games with Pilate, Jerry. Christ says, Pilate, all you can think about is military. Pilate was an ex-cavalry man from Spain. And then he went in the Roman Navy. And then he got hooked up with a politician named Janius and climbed the Roman ladder. And they appointed him governor and sent him and his wife. His wife was a proselyte in the Jew synagogue. Her name was Proculoxius. She was a proselyte in the Jew synagogue. She was a Jew synagogue every Sabbath. His wife did. That's history. This fellow's no nut. And he's singing about soldiers and armies and fight. He said, you're the king, where's your soldiers? He said, now just cool it. My kingdom is not the kind you know. The only kind you know. My kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, and it's not of this world. And I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus Christ is the king, and he's a king over that kind of kingdom. Period. And am I glad? Whew. We had to take baseball bats and fight him. I don't think I'd last long, Bob, do you? That's the kind of kingdom he has. Now, I want us to go back now to 3 months before his death. Go to Luke 17. 3 months before his death. Luke 17. Now, I've given you when he was born. I've given you 3 days before his death. I've given you at his trial. Now, we're going back 3 months before his death. That's the chronology. All right, Luke chapter 17. These are beautiful verses. Fantastic. 3 months before his death, and the Jewish leaders are so infuriated with public rumor and whispering that this is our king, it's not our king. I want to tell you, the nation was upset. You're talking about a nation at unrest. They were upset, the Jewish nation was, as a whole. All right, in Luke 17 and verse 20, 3 months before his death, now listen to the text. It says, and when Jesus was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said unto them. Now let me go back. On this occasion, the hawks of Jewish religion swooped upon him and settled around him like the tyrants that they were. And they say, you're the king? Oh, you're the king? Well, where's your kingdom? When's the kingdom going to come? You're a Jew. You believe in a king. When's the kingdom going to come? Tell us. We want to know. We want it too, the kingdom of God. We want it. Now, you got to keep in mind that they only knew one kind of kingdom.
And that was them, the Jews, ruling over the world with a stick and a sword, and with Messiah sitting on a throne made out of steel and metal and diamonds and rubies, and with police and shotguns and dogs and SWAT teams. And then with that kind of rule, that's the only kind of kingdom they knew about. They had never heard of a spiritual kingdom where Christ saves the hearts of men. Brother, I'll tell you, by the grace of God, Jesus Christ rules in our hearts. And it should be so. If He doesn't rule in your heart, you're in a mess. And so here they come and they say, sneeringly, "Well, we know you. When's the kingdom coming?" Now, Jesus' answer